Blog Talk Radio.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you've won again,
that you have won again. Let your
Welcome everybody, welcome, God bless everyone that's here in attendance for our Lit Lessons on Saturday, knowing God's will, just having kind of breakdown and questions that I'll go over that you have or others may have asked themselves about the will of God for your life. So let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for this one more time that you've allowed us, oh God, to set time to come boldly to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For your words to those who lack wisdom, asking you that we shall receive wisdom. So Lord, we ask for revelation, knowledge, and wisdom of your word, Lord God, to apply to our daily lives, that we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you allow the message, oh God, and all that is taught in this lesson to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engraved on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our lives stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. And Father God, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you open up the channels of our spirit to receive, oh God, in this lesson, your will for our life, as we decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we are yours, oh God, that you are our God. And Lord, we ask that you lead us, Holy Spirit of the living God, in this lesson as you do each and every day of our life, because we believe and trust in you. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that thy will be done, Lord God, on earth as it is in heaven, as we bind our mind to the mind of Christ and our will to the will of God. We thank you, Father God, that it is so and it shall be no other way, Lord God. We thank you that you are for us, oh God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. I ask that you bless all here that's in the teaching on today, oh God, of that lesson, Lord, that you will open up their understanding as well, those that are trickling in right now. Oh, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We come against every hindering spirit on the line today, every unteachable spirit, every spirit of depression, oppression, anxiety, worry, fear, and doubt, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare victory over us right now. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us right now, all that will be taught and all that's online today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. If you ever join us for one of these lessons here on Saturday, we just kind of slow it down. It's not a drawn out lesson. You know, we'll stop and come back to it until we finish the lesson. We may be in this lesson for about 4 weeks. Again, if you miss 1 week, you can always go back. The shows and the services and everything are archived, so you can always go back and see what you have missed. So if you start out a lesson with us and you miss, you can always go back and listen to the one that you missed. And always go back to it to refresh yourself. Give yourself a refresher course of the Word of God. Stand in the Word of God. Just like we need water daily, we need food daily, we need rest daily, we need the Word of God daily. So we go back to that Word. So today we're going to be talking about you all knowing God's will. And understanding, like I said earlier before you all got on, those were just now trickling in. We're going to talk about some of the questions that you've asked, others have asked about God's will, and just kind of have an understanding of it. We'll come to a part, I believe, that everything will be answered as we go through this lesson, as you continue to come on and be with us here in our led lessons. And then we'll open up the line for any questions or comments regarding what was discussed in the lesson. We don't want to go before the lesson, but we want to kind of move according to the lesson. So if you have any questions regarding what is being taught in this lesson, we'll discuss those and anything that you have further. Let's kind of wait till we get to that part of the lesson. I believe your questions will be answered. Amen. And so we'll have that time when we open up the lines for any comments or questions at that time. So welcome everybody once again. I pray that God continue to stream, that God bring revelation, knowledge, understanding of his will for for your life and for our lives, those that believe we are the children of God. We're co-heirs to the kingdom through Christ Jesus who has saved us. Amen. And for you all, as we're entering into this lesson, the question is, if you've ever faced, you all, and I say this, if you ever faced a life-changing decision or ever looked up and asked that painful question, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Then you know that God's will isn't always easy. We know that to be true. So while understanding God's will may not be easy, it's certainly, you are not certainly impossible. If you can hear me well, let me know. Somebody press 1. I just want to make sure you all can hear me because I don't have anyone here to do like a check for me in sound. So if you can hear me and I'm clear, will you press 1 for me and let me know that I'm coming through clear? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, y'all. So while we understand that God's will may not be easy, it's certainly not impossible. We know with God that all things are possible. So God hasn't left us, you are on our own to get lost. He has provided us with resources and guidance to show us a way out the fog, amen, so that we can have a clear, or at least a clearer view of his will for our lives. How many will always ask God, what is your will for my life? What is the purpose of my life? You know, and then you're in that place of just kind of not, you know, not understanding, you know, God's will for your life. So you all, we're going to talk about here, and we're going to have, you know, there'll be more questions and answer of God's will. And people ask, you hear people, why do people mean, you know, what do people mean when they say the will of God? Well, we'll talk about that. And does the Bible suggest that God has a unique plan for our lives? If so, how detailed is that plan, and how can someone go about discovering it? Amen. And so does God's sovereignty triumph human freedom? And by the way, what does sovereignty even mean? What is sovereignty? You know, you hear, but what does that mean? And what happens when our plans and God's plans are not in sync? And is it possible for someone to completely miss God's will for their lives? These are some of the questions. So we'll tackle some of these questions like these and others, you all, in this led lesson and this teaching for us here on this Saturday as we go forward in this lesson. We were talking about angels, but we'll get back to that another time. I was led to go to this lesson of knowing God's will for our lives. For those who had that question, there's a story, you all, that said Dorothy Gale, she wanted to go home to Kansas, and you all have heard this story, I'm sure, to Rockabilly Boulevard. Wanted to go the distance, and Frodo the Hobbit wanted to destroy his magical ring before it destroyed him and those who love. So we could keep going, you all, but you get the point. It is, every memorable story features a character, and as me being a playwright and those of you that write as well, you know there's always a featured character in this story who wants something and is willing to go the extraordinary length to get it. So this universal unwritten rule also applies to the Bible. The Bible, although many regard God's word as a religious rule book or a quaint collection of ancient wisdom, it's actually, you all, a story. It's actually a story. It's the real life story of what happened when God, in sheer goodness and love, designed a perfect world with humans at the center. Amen. So the question is, why would the Almighty do such a thing? I know you probably ask yourself that, like, why am I here? And why would God create us? What's the purpose, you know, when we're just born to die? I mean, what is all that about? So because as the main character in the biggest and best story of all, you all, he wanted something, you know, he wanted creatures who would reflect his glory and live in his perfect love and revel in his exquisite blessings. And this is why we were created, you know, just like we have our children. You know, we get married and have our children, or however you might have your children, you know, to have something that is ours. You know, people say, I just want a child. I want God to bless me with my own child, you know, so I can see my child. I can, you know, love on it, and I can grow my child, and I can be there for my children. So God created us to reflect his glory and live in his perfect love and revel in his exquisite blessings. And that's why we were created. So if you're at all familiar with the Bible, which I believe you all are, you know that right at the start, everything takes a disastrous turn. The human creatures defy their creator by their inexplicable rebellion. They plunge themselves and the world into ruin. But thankfully, the story isn't over. Amen. In fact, far from it. So on the heels of this shocking plot twist, we get to the glimpse of the Almighty's overwhelming desire to rescue and recover all that he's lost. Amen. So God always had a plan for us. Amen. He always has a plan, which is his will. Amen. So the rest of the Old and the New Testament demonstrates the stunning lengths to which God is willing to go to get what he wants. Amen. It is God's will that all be saved. Amen. Not one of us to perish, but all to be saved. And that's why he sent his son Jesus to save us. So you all, this is the essence, is the story of the Bible, the story of the universe, the story of us. We the people, we the creatures of God, God's children, amen. From Genesis to Revelation, you all, we read about what God has done and is doing still. So to win back the hearts of rebels, to eradicate evil and to make all things new, amen. It turns out that we can't really know the will of God apart from the story of God, amen. And hopefully you all agree with me so far. If you read the Bible, you have come to know God for yourself. Or you're in that place of trying to have that relationship and grow more spiritually in the Word of God and have that relationship with God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. So you all, let's just do a breakdown. We talk about God's will and what it means. See, the Greek now, thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A, you all, is often translated as will in the Bible, and it's related to a verb that means to want, to desire, or like. So when the Bible speaks about God's will, it's referring to the things the Almighty wants to see happen, the things he desires to do for his people and the acts he likes for his people to engage in or not. So those are the outcomes that fill him and us with deep joy. Amen. So God's will, or the will of God, refers to the plans and purposes of God that spring from his perfect desires. So much of his will has already been revealed the Bible. Amen. So some of God's will remains a mystery for at least two reasons, because scripture doesn't tell us everything and because history is still unfolding. Amen. So when Christians say to one another, pray that I'll know God's will, typically they are referring to a specific life situation in which they have more than one option. For example, you're all there pondering school choices or business opportunities, or, you know, what to do or where to go, or relationships, like pondering the school choices, like should I go to that one or out-of-state college or stick with my local school? What would be wise or next for me to go back to school at my age? You know, just differing choices of this kind of weighing employment possibilities. Should I take the job offer or start looking, you know, somewhere else? Mulling over a big purchase, you know, asking God for what is your will for the guy? What should I do? You know, even about relationships, romantic relationships, we've all been there. You know, asking God, is this for me? You know, what is your will for me in this relationship, in this marriage? Is this what you ordained, Father? So as we see God's will, certainly involves location and vocations, money and matrimony, but it's much more expansive than that, you all. It's much more broad. So we're talking about, if you just are coming in to our lead lessons, we're talking about God's will, knowing God's will. Excuse me, y'all. When it comes to thinking about God, you all, and what his will for us means, people tend to fall at many different points along the spectrum, depending on how they view God. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more, like the micromanager. Let's talk about the micromanager. On one end of the spectrum, you know, God is viewed as the great micromanager of the universe. He is the ultimate, infinite, controlling helicopter parent, meaning he has got his hands in every detail. So the will of God is a kind of divine blueprint, a highly detailed itinerary for the most satisfied life possible. So from this perspective, it's easy to imagine God discussing with Gabriel, Michael, and the other angels his detailed ideal plan for each person's life. Amen. And so I'm going to arrange you all for a little joy at age 9. We'll talk about this for you, to come down with a serious case of poison oak, and we're going to talk about this, just giving you our story. So this isn't to punish him, it's to get him to see that my plan for him is to become a dermatologist. This means, of course, you know, I want to make a straight, you know, we do different things in our children to make them get to a certain point so that our will is done in their life. And sometimes setting up certain situations that you may have experienced that as well in your life. And so, you know, sometimes God allows certain things to happen to get us to a point so that his will be done in our life. And you're trying to figure out, well, why is this going on? And, you know, sometimes it's just a test of God to get us to a point so that we will surrender our will for the will of God. Amen. So you all, maybe you tend to view God like this. You know, you sincerely try to follow God's guidance moment by moment so that you can hopefully stay straight, stay right in the center of his will. So you pray about every decision and you look for confirmation in all choices. You think that this is the only way to be in exactly the right place at precisely the right time to meet, you know, anyone, I mean, whether that's Mr. or Mrs. Right, to land the perfect job and so forth. So this understanding of the will of God pictures life rather like a complex maze with only one ideal solution. So to take a wrong turn, you'll miss out on an untold blessing. Navigate with perfect obedience, and you'll win the jackpot of joy. You can't just speak like that. And I just want to slow down for a minute here. Hallelujah. So I want to ask this, but what if in a moment of uncertainty or a season of bullheadedness, a person takes a wrong turn? Suppose, for example, at the age of 9 or 10, even speaking about regarding our children, or even the story that I've read about Joy comes down with a divinely ordained case of poison oak, and he starts playing video games to take his mind off of his insistent itching. So, and what is, while doing that, he thinks, I want to design video games when I grow up. Just give you all an example of a story here. And suppose he never even considered an Ivy League education and heads west to a job in California where he never even meets, you know, the one for his life or whatever, and just giving you all a breakdown of the story. But for many believers, you all, and for maybe for you and myself at one point, this view of God's will has a paralyzing effect. It can leave us walking around with a nervous, sick feeling that we could be just one careless decision away from ruining our life. Have you ever been there before? You know, string together enough bad choices, and before we can even reach the age of 30, we could very easily be on God's 4,157 best plan. But talk about a depressing prospect, and that's not how God sees things. Let's talk about another view of God's will. Imagine God who made the whole world, you all, the world, and then went and it went well, but God only knows where. So this is the AWOL, God, the ultimate free-range parent. Amen. Expect this deity, if you ever can find him, to be impersonal and disinterested, you are uninvolved in the day-to-day affairs of the world. And don't think for a minute you are. Don't think for a moment he's losing sleep about where you work or live or whom you might marry. Don't think that. To some, this view of God's will, it's exhilarating. You get to create whatever life you choose and don't have to worry about what God might want you to do. To others, this is an idea of overwhelming and distressing, like trying to go from here to Hawaii or from California to Hawaii in a canoe without a compass. So I want you to understand, God as the captain, you all. God is the captain. See, there are many ways to think about God's will in between these two extremes. A quick survey of the Bible and all of Christian history shows that the Almighty offering plenty of guidance. A lot of us are seeking God and asking God for guidance, for his divine guidance and help, but also giving his human creatures all sorts of freedom and responsibility. So God doesn't program or micromanage us, you all, nor does he abandon us to figure out life on our own. Instead, God is very proactive. If you're just now getting in here on the lesson, we're talking about knowing God's will or the will of God for our lives. See, he gives us unique abilities, interests and passions and creativity. He puts each of us in a part of the world filled with big opportunities and enormous needs. Amen. When we look in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 to 39, and Sister Dylan, if you can help me out today and go to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to open up your line if that's okay. The book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 to 39. Matthew.
1 second, Baba. I can turn my phone. It's kind of crazy right now.
Oh, I can hear you. I'm sorry. Your phone breaking up. Your phone breaking up.
Can you hear
up.
Me now? I say my. It won't let me go to my Bible.
Oh, you don't have your Bible? That's okay. If you don't have your Bible with you, I'll read it. Do you have it? Are you on your phone now? No, I'm on my phone, Bible. Yeah. Okay, no problem, no problem. I'll read the scripture here. Everyone, if you have your Bible, it's good to have your Bible when we come to the lessons as well. If I didn't say that, amen. Just so you can go to scripture with us. So I'm going to be coming out the New King James Version, everyone, in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. I'll give you an opportunity to get there with me. Amen.
Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39.
The Bible says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor and yourselves. Amen. That's verse 37 to 39, everyone. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his word. Amen. I'm going to close your mic up. Never deal with it. Amen. So he, you know, you all, he provides some broad ground rules for life here in the scripture, Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Chief among them being to love God and love others. We're talking about this morning, even last night at midnight, and I pray about love and standing in a place of love and loving like Christ and, you know, operating in love. You know, we have been commanded this. So he encourages us, in effect, he says, within my gracious boundaries, go be and be bold as well. You are attempt big things. Live your own unique life to the fullest. Walk with me, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. Amen. God will meet you all where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. Amen. See, God's not a divine micromanager with only one perfect yet cryptic will for each person's life, nor is he an A-W-L-L deity who says, do pretty much whatever, I don't care. Instead, God can be seen as, to use another imperfect metaphor, the omnicompetent captain, you all, of the giant ocean linear called life, because the ship is the strong hands of an attentive, wise, good captain. We can relax, amen. He is going to get us exactly where we're supposed to be. Will you trust God to get you there where you're exactly supposed to be? Because this is the will of God for your life, amen. For your life, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to open up the lines. If you have any, you can press 1. If you have any questions or comments, amen. If you have any questions or comments at this time, press 1. Evangelist Kim, I don't know if you have any questions or comments, because the line still shows when you let me know that my mic was good. It still has yours. So I'm just going to open up your line and ask you if you have any questions or comments. Amen. Evangelist Kim, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister.
Okay.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. Amen. Okay, Cousin Connie, do you have any questions or comments?
Oh, no, not at this time.
Amen. God bless you. I want to ask, open up your lines, because the it still showed me where you are, press 1 for me, so I want to make sure I didn't ask you. That's the way I could know, because it's still lit up. Sister Dilly, Mom, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Amen, amen. And we'll break down even more here in our study every Saturday, as we, I believe it will take about 4 weeks, because we're not in here long. We're in here about 30 minutes with the lead lessons, knowing God's will for our life. And I believe as we go on and go further in the lesson, that any questions that you may have will be answered. And I just thank God for the lesson and understanding that we serve a God of free will. He gives us free will, and it's up to us to ask God to let his will be done in our life and sincerely mean it with our whole heart, allowing God in to have his way. Amen. Does anyone else have any questions, or does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? Go ahead and press 1, and I'll try to answer those to the best of my ability. And if I don't have the answer, I'll definitely go and pray about it and then go to scripture for you with it and come back to you with it. I won't guess and try to guess what it is. No, I won't be helping nobody, and I won't be helping myself. So, amen. So we thank God again for this red blessing. Okay, let us move forward just a little bit more here, and then we're going to wrap up here shortly in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Again, I thank you all for being here with me today. Amen. So let's talk about a little bit, as we ask this question, what are some of the wrong assumptions about God's will? Sometimes we assume God's will, and it's wrong. We, you know, when we begin to assume how God is and what God's will is. So let's talk about one, the wrong assumption. God's will is pretty much impossible for the average Christian, you all, believer, to figure out. It's, you know, it is hard, pretty much impossible. So under this assumption, God's will is accessible only to a few, like eccentric Bible scholars or spiritual mystics who somehow have figured out how to hack into the Lord's heavenly database. God is pictured as a tough-as-nail professor who relishes the thought of flunking all those clueless believers enrolled in God's will 101. So if we buy into this, we can start thinking, this course is impossible to pass, much less an ace. So I should just go ahead and drop out and re-sign myself to being, you know, a meta-career believer who bumbles through life. No, sorry, that's wrong, you all. That is wrong. We're talking about the wrong assumptions, you all. So understand, I'm talking about the wrong assumptions. This is a wrong assumption. So this is wrong, and it's false, and it's not true. God is not trying to turn the spiritual life into a big puzzle or a frustrating search. He wants us to know his will so that we can do it. Amen? He wants us to know his will so that we can do it, no matter where you are or how educated you are or not. God wants you to know his will, no matter how old or young you are. God wants us to know his will. So in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote about the importance of letting the truth of God shape our minds and lives so that we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We see this in the book of Romans 12:2. See, in other words, God wants us to discern his purposes. And I want you all to notice, go to Romans 12:2. If you want to go there on your own here, let's go ahead and go to Romans 12:2. And if you are willing to read for us today, just press 1 for me. Romans 12:2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get someone to read it for me? Amen. So we can see for ourselves right there in the book of Romans. Anyone there for me can read for me today? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to wait for somebody to press 1 for me. Amen. Amen. Okay, I don't know. Evangelist Kim, your mic is still open. I don't know if you want to read it for me or not. Romans 12:2. Let's see. Evangelist Kim, are you in a position to read Romans 12:2 for us?
No, I'm driving. I will.
Oh, you're driving?
I'm driving.
Okay, no problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cousin Connie, are you in a position to read Romans 12:2?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please. Thank you. God bless. Yes, ma'am.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, an acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for reading that for us. Amen. So right here, Sister Connie has read for us. You all, we see right here what the Bible is saying. In other words, God wants us to discern his purposes. Amen. So notice how Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers to strive to know God's will. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. When we look in the book of Ephesians 5 and 17, we see it here. He prayed for the Colossians believers, you all, in the book of Colossians. In Ephesians is where he prayed for the Colossian believers to know God's will. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, like I said, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We see this in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and 9. Amen. So if God meant for his will to be an unknowable mystery, or the Spirit of God would never move Apostle Paul to pray such prayers or issue such challenges. The fact is God wants us to know his plan for our lives. Amen. He may not reveal details for tomorrow or next week or next year, but he will give us whatever we need for this next moment. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about, again, we're still talking about the wrong assumptions here. You know, let's talk about the wrong assumptions. You all understand if something is really fun and enjoyable, it must not be God's will. That's a wrong assumption. You know, people get into a place where they think if you're having fun or you're enjoying it, oh, that's not God's will for us to enjoy and have a good time. No, no, no. So, see, sometimes we can view God as a cosmic party pooper, you know, believing that he wants his people to be hyper serious or even somber. So we can take a grim face view of Christian life and conclude that believers who are always smiling and enjoying life must be doing something wrong. See, there's no way God is pleased with that. You hear this before long, just hearing the phrase, the will of God, makes us winnings. It makes us like, oh, my God, you know, it makes us nervous. See, this is because we've made it synonymous. We've unwanted or a bad thing. We make it, people have made it their way where it's unwanted or a bad thing. So we may find ourselves thinking thoughts like, I'm not sure. I'm not so sure I really want to seek God's will. You hear people that. I'm not ready right now. I'm not ready to surrender my will. You'd be amazed, you all, or people that are just not ready because they feel like I can't enjoy life. I can't have fun. And you hear that, trying to do the God thing. I can't have fun. I can't do this. I can't go there. After all, and you hear them say, after all, I might find it. I might find it, and it surely involves all sorts of unpleasantness. And you hear that. No wonder why many young people, when considering a life spent doing the will of God, they wrestle with the thoughts like this. I just know that if I say to God, not my will but yours be done, he'll reply, I gotcha. You hear that? You know, and believe it or not, I've talked to young people. They want to, but they're afraid. I'm not going to be able to enjoy life. I'm young. Why can't I enjoy my life? And then they'll be thinking like, you'll send me someplace overseas where I'll hate living and I'll end up poor and single. This is how people think, you all. This is an assumption. So if God does ever allow me to get married, it'll be to someone who's boring or mean and I'll be so miserable. That's not the will of God for us. So if sometimes, you know, if you sometimes struggle with such thoughts, you all, maybe this is a good time to reread, you know, the scripture in Psalms 84 and 11 and Psalm 107, and I'll read those for you. You know, maybe you need to fix your eyes on these scriptures so you can understand that's not the will of God for your life. He wants us to enjoy life and, you know, and have a good time in life. And I think when you put your mind there, it's also for people to receive God and believe because they feel like I'm not going to be able to enjoy life. Life's going to be boring. It's going to be miserable. I ain't going to be able to do anything. But the Bible says, you all, in Psalm 84 and 11, the Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, amen, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 32, he who do not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Amen. The Bible says in John 10 and 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. if you, you know, with Bible reading, or life in abundance. So someone once pointed out that, hallelujah, that if we really believe our Heavenly Father is 100% good all the time, we trust that His will is always good. And if we trust that, we would do His will as Jesus did, according to Matthew 26:42. Let's say it again. The Bible declares that God is good. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. He loves, you know, He loves to give good gifts to His children, you all. He loves, so if God is giving good gifts, so why are we, hallelujah, assuming something outside of that? So if you then thought you, hallelujah, glory to God, if you then though are evil, this is the book in Matthew 7:11. The Bible says, if you then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Amen? And we ask. We serve a good God, amen? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy all of that and have you thinking outside of that. See, the enemy will set you up to set you back. You know, he comes in looking like and sounding like. But I want you to know that all good things come from the Lord, amen? He wants his followers, you all, to have the richest life imaginable, amen? And we are his followers. We are his children, amen? See, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the Bible says, he said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. He desires that we be full of joy, you all. The Bible says in John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So it's by the following Christ wholeheartedly that we find God's will, a life that honors God, blesses others, and brings happiness to our own souls. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Catherine Marshall said, once comes this idea that if what we are doing is fun, it can't be God's will. The God who made giraffes, a baby singing nails, a puppy's tail, and a crooked neck squash, a barbed wire, and call a young girl's giggle, has a sense of humor. Make no mistake about that. And this is what Captain Marshall said. I hope you all understood it. And she was just saying basically is that if God made all of this and that, those that make you laugh, things that make you laugh, things that make you smile, why would you not believe that God wants the goodness for your life and for our life? So, y'all, we're going to wrap up here. And when we come back next Saturday, we're going to continue to talk about the will of God for your life and knowing God's will for your life and those things that we assume is from God and what you've heard or what you believe or what you felt and just having an understanding of what God's will is. And once you know that, you can begin to live that life of peace, the life of joy and happiness, and know that you can go out and you can have a good time. You know, God wants us to enjoy this life that He has given us. Amen. He don't want us to, you know, be miserable and unhappy, poor, destitute. No, that's not the will of God for your life. And I want you to understand that God has made us to bless us and bless us in abundance and to fill us, amen, with His goodness. So God bless everyone. At this time, I'll open up the lines. If you have any questions or comments at this point, I'll be happy to take those questions and comments. And then we'll go on with our beautiful day that God has blessed us with. Amen. So does anyone have any comments or questions at this time for me? If so, press 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Dilly, God bless you, Mama. Go ahead.
I don't have any questions or comments, but thank you for the explaining the stuff to us and figure out what God's will. I'd like to know what God's will for me. I ask the Lord, what is that you have me to do? I'm just waiting on God to answer me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we find it in the Word of God. We find what God is calling us to do. To love. One is to love. To love. To love Him first and to love others. If you ever find yourself in that place of not loving, and loving means forgiving. Loving means helping. You know, love, you know, is sharing. Love is caring. So when we think about love, look in the Bible. The Bible explains what love is. When we look in the book of Corinthians, and we see what that is. So you think that is the will of God for your life. And to love and make sure you're in that place of loving. Amen. Love opens up. The Bible said that love covers a multitude of sin. Love in itself. He created us out of love. Amen. Jesus came. He sent his only begotten Son because he loved us. So we are required, we are commanded to love. And if you ever find yourself not in that place of loving, then ask God to help you get back in that place of loving and increase you in love so that you're able to love like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Mother. I love you. I thank God for you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? Evangelist Kim, I'm not sure if you do. I'm just going to open up your line because it still shows your light lit on my end. Evangelist Kim, do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I had a comment. I like when we were talking about having fun in Christ. And I don't know, God always gave us the sense of humor and the ability to laugh and enjoy life. I think the problem comes in. Yeah, the problem coming in is that when some people, they get lost in their flesh when they're having fun. And that's the thing. We need to still stay mindful that we serve God at all times, you know. And so, I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. I love funny things, you know. And so, God made us that way. So, we're never going to be bored if you really are a true Christian. You're still going to enjoy fun times and the ability to enjoy life to the fullest. So, yes, I like when you said that because people do have a misconception that everything got to be so serious like the Pharisees and Sadducees, and that's not how God made us. You know what I'm saying? So I really enjoyed that, and my family did too. We were listening while we were riding.
Amen. Glory to God. God bless you, too. I love you, too. Thank you so much for your comment. And that is so true, you all. I mean, God, all things coming good from the Lord. And understand, this is what I like to enjoy. And I think some people are afraid, like, because they've been, you got to understand who you're under and who is teaching you. We have to be very mindful who we are putting ourselves under, you know, because then you'll be operating in man-made laws and according to a man-made doctrine. So God wants you to enjoy life. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless all. Amen. Cousin Connie, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I just thank God for you explaining that because most of us don't know the purpose. And when you explained to your mother that His God's will is for us to love one another. So thank you for breaking that down. So.
Amen. Glory to God. We thank God. I'm just so excited. Whenever these lit lessons come up and the Holy Spirit lead me on what lesson to give, I'm just like, okay, what lesson or where are we going? I'm just so grateful, you all. I'm in a place of gratefulness and just thanking God and just, you know, being able to receive. And, you know, the Bible says our people perish from a lack of knowledge. Amen. And the reason why the Bible is saying is because those who are teaching them did not teach them the right way, or they withheld information from them so that they can gain for their own selfish gain. And that's why the Bible is saying that, because those that God has called in position or those who have positioned themselves have not taught those that they are leading with the flock. And so they are lacking the knowledge so that they can, so that we can, or they can apply to their daily lives. So that's why people are perishing, because they don't have the knowledge of the word of God and what God is saying and knowing the will of God for our lives. So it's very important, whoever you're under, whoever your pastor is or wherever you're going, you know, if you're not receiving that, go where you can grow. That's so important. It's nothing like being in the church for years and 20 years, 10 years, 3 years, 6 months, and not having an understanding of God's will for your life or God's plan, or understanding the word of God and what it is saying and how you apply it to your life. It's nothing like just sitting in the church and not receiving anything, going in there the same way, leaving out even worse than when you came. So it is my prayer that wherever you are fellowshipping it, and whoever your leader is, whoever the shepherd of the flock that you're a part of, that God will pour into them greater might, that they will come out of self, and that they will really have the heart for the people, amen, so that no one will perish for the lack of knowledge. And I pray that God will continue to strengthen me and pour into me mighty and lead, and God be the Holy Spirit leading in every way, and not myself, so that I'll be in position to be able to pour into the flock that God has put me over to shepherd in the name of Jesus Christ. And all that come that can drink, amen, and be that their thirst will be quenched and that they will be full in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you all for being here on today. Remember, we're back here on next Saturday. If you missed any part of the lesson today, remember, you all that came in a little late, that you can go back. All the lessons and services are archived, and we thank God for that, amen, that you can go back and listen. So if you miss next Saturday for any reason, I will be in position to teach the lesson. You can always go back in here for yourself. Amen. God bless you all. The other thing is, the good thing about being here live, you all, you're able to ask questions or if you have any comments during this time. So I would encourage all to be here. So if you have any questions about the lesson versus going back and listening to it and then having questions and you don't have the answer to it. So I would encourage you to be in position and be on so that if you have any questions or comments so that we can answer those questions or add to the comments so others can understand in the name of Jesus. So God bless you. Father God, we thank you one more time, Lord God, for this opportunity to come to receive or anoint your will for our life, Lord God, in the study. We thank you, Father God, for moving mighty. We thank you for your protection right now. We thank you for your angels encamped around us, protecting us from seen and unforeseen dangers at this world. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that we leave this line in your presence, Lord. We ask that you continue to guide us and lead us, Lord God. We ask that you continue to pour into us great and mighty so that we can apply all that you've given us, Lord, to our life, so that we can live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we see the precious bread of all that's here and set us on today and all that we love. For we decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we are covered and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every time that rises up against us in judgment, God shall condemn. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. I love you. I thank God for you. See you all in Sunday service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say what?
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streak, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when I get, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pressure for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.